Hey, comedy fam, if you like the comedy advice on this podcast, you are going to love our newsletter. I send out weekly newsletters with comedy tips, updates on our live streams, and a lot more. So join it, linked in the show notes.
I never compared myself to anyone. I like to be Mario funny. To be the best you can be, you got to work, you got to study. For one, I heard Richard Pryor say this, have fun. It ain't even... First of all, you a comic. We know you gotta be funny. That's your job is to be funny. But how dare you not have fun while you're doing it?
Hot breath. What up, Hot Breathiverse? I am your favorite host, Joel Byers, and you know what time it is. Hot breath. Oh, Hot Breathisode 122 is here, and it is lit AF. This is definitely one of the most entertaining interviews I have ever done. You're going to be hearing some ambient noise per my guest beating on the table, backing in and out of the microphone, hitting the microphone. This is really an interview, I've got to say, you got to see on YouTube. It's very entertaining, even just seeing just the environment we're in. But thanks for hanging out here, however you found this, on iTunes or Spotify or Audio Boom or Stitcher or wherever. I appreciate your ears and your time, and I value it a lot. All I ask is that if you did enjoy this and found it as entertaining as I did, just share it. Just simply tell someone about it. Share it on your Facebook. Tag us at Hot Breath Pod on social media, at Joel Byers Comedy on social media. That's the best way to spread the word here in the Hot Breathiverse, word of mouth, and thanks for your help with that. It feels good to feel good. So, now that we have said that, let's get into it. And there is only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath with Mario Tori.
I'm telling you, it's raining down on me. Jesus, if you can hear me, I'm happy.
And now you're on hot breath.
What? And I'm shooting, I'm writing a feature film, man. And
what?
This is the lady I'm meeting with. I'm meeting with her tomorrow. She's a writer.
What?
And an editor, and she has a studio up in Marietta. And she just said one of her friends wanted to cast me for a movie. But then she said her friend is a friend of my wife. And I was like, wow.
What?
This is getting better as it goes.
I thought you wanted to write a sitcom.
I'm writing that too. And I'm writing a cartoon.
What? Which one are you doing? You're doing all of them at the same time? You're going to pick one?
Well, I got the ideas already down. So me concretely writing it right now, I don't have it. But I'm going to write the feature movie first.
Okay.
The cartoon I wrote, I already got the premise idea. I got the first episode written. And I stopped. And then I got the idea for the sitcom already written, but I haven't really just gotten.
Oh, okay. The hard part.
The hard part.
So you haven't gotten the hard part done.
I just want to hire some dope people, man. I don't want to do it on my own. I don't think that's fun. I think the idea should be like, you know, everybody, of course, when you got writers, everybody comes together.
Right.
So I want to get some young, hungry, different thinking motherfuckers. I don't want to say, because this is what Hollywood is turning into now. You see how these movies
This
shit is getting dope.
That's what Issa Rae said, was like, work with people like parallel to you. Instead of trying to like reach for these people that already made it, work with people that are trying to make it with you.
Yeah. And their appetite is just as hungry, and their ideas are fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought of some dope shit. It's going to be sick. You're going to be like, this man had to be high to do this shit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Shouts out to Georgia Power. Oh, man.
They're our sponsor. That's our sponsor.
Today is Georgia Power's our sponsor for keeping our lights on. You hear me? I've never had a bill that I opened and it was $0.
Yeah.
I was like, somebody, I thought somebody punked me. And then I was like, you know what? Let me call them. And the lady said, oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, you got $243. I was like, what?
You're so domesticated now, Mario. Look at this background. Look at the artichokes on the wall. This warm blue.
But you know what? Health, though, man. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This right here.
Okay.
I got a, I'm gonna see if I can put my babies in here.
Put your babies in here. Are you growing weed now too? Is that
no? I smoke weed, but I don't do that. This is the this is these are pea shoots.
Pea shoots, okay.
Pea shoots grown from sand and gravel. There's no dirt. It's just sand, gravel, and water. A Short with Fat Comedy has a great fucking venture right now going on where we're growing organic things, and I'm gonna get an organic garden.
What?
In the back. And
What do you do with those?
You can eat them.
You just eat like the leaves or the whole stem and everything? Just,
you know, because actually these have been eaten down and they grew back. You see how fresh these look, smaller, but they still tall?
Yeah,
we just chop them up, put them on the top of a salad, you know, just kind of like accent shit. You know, make you look rich. You know, you think you fancy. You done made a little money. You start putting shit on your plate and all that shit to do with shit. And you're like, why the fuck are you sprinkling parsley on the side of the plate where ain't nothing that?
Yeah, it's an accoutrement.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
What the fuck is accoutrement?
Accoutrement. It's like a Pokemon, but accoutrement.
I caught one of them.
You caught an accoutrement?
On Peter Street.
Yeah. And it's in the middle of the afternoon. Weird. All right. I guess you don't have anything to do.
No, man, you know what? I do. Oh, my wife passed the test. Great.
Oh, yeah. Is your wife? Is she here? Is she going to be here?
Mm-mm.
No.
She's working. But what happened was,
they calling me.
What happened was, you know what,
Joe? Okay.
Talking to my wife and my brother the other day, and one of my brothers just had a scare. He had to go to the emergency room. Yesterday, and my dad had some slight scare with his heart a few weeks ago. You really have to take in consideration, you only get one chance at this shit,
right?
And why not eat what you want? Why not work out? Why not turn your body into what you want it to? Why not, if you like to get out, snort cocaine, if that's what you do, your life is yours. Some of the most successful people, and they look crazy when we say, oh, some of the richest people did cocaine. But they didn't do cocaine and that's what made them successful. They did it because that's what the fuck they was enjoying to do.
But then they died earlier. But they were happy while they were here? Is that what?
You got some motherfuckers that are unhappy that's 90-something years old.
Yeah, that is
they
true.
They might be living 80-something, 70-something, and they hating it.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if you got everything you want at your disposal and you die at 55? Is that not life living? You like, fuck this. I came from shit and I made millions of goddamn dollars. Or I can be moderately happy for the rest of my life and don't make a dime.
But you're big on health and taking care of yourself. You're trying to get into the mic too. So okay. We'll try to pick up the audio and
mic check 1, 2, 1, 3.
Yes, sir. Yeah, just try to stay on it more so it picks up your raspy.
I'm gonna be up in here.
Barry White voice.
I'm glad I was starting to think you didn't like black people.
What?
Because I never came on the podcast. I did.
Do you know how many black people have been on this podcast?
But I wouldn't.
I know. And you've been asking, but it's all timing, you know?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I was waiting on this. I didn't even have a house, man. I was blessed with this.
So it's good we waited because we may have been doing this like on a sidewalk somewhere. In the Lincoln.
That shit might have been dope. We might have been riding around like, fuck it, let's ride through the gate and do this shit in here.
Now we're sitting here at the kitchen table with pea shoots and artichoke and silverware on the wall.
Lip makeup, lipstick, and lip, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You made it, Mario.
I'm happy.
So you've been having success. Most recently, the Kevin Hart stuff popped off. And you were on Comedy Central, well, really Heart of the City, first off. And then you got on to Next Level. So did they ask you back? Like, do they like you that much? Oh, and that's hot breath water. That's
but
for
is
you.
It props or is it can we drink?
No, that's for you. Oh. That's Fontis water.
No, shouts out to Hot Breath. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm
smoking.
It's Blue Ridge Mountain spring water. Family owned Fontis.
Really?
Fontis. Ding.
Sponsored by Fontis. These are sponsors?
Already.
Should we drop something? When you want to feel great, you want to feel refreshed. Don't stop at the simple things and the easy task and the way to grab water right at the bottom in the grocery store. Nah. Go a little further. Fontis. Tell me about it, Joel.
Fontis. The water for woke people. Ding. All right.
I like that.
Yeah, so enjoy that, sir.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so
yeah. Yeah, let's reel it in a little bit here.
Come on with it.
Come on with it.
The you know, the Comedy Central kind of Comedy Central kind of got me. It never fails the opportunities you're gonna have if you really believe. Comedy Central really was the final stamp on what I achieved in the last 11 years. And I said I was going to do it. I said I was going to be one of the hottest comics coming out of Atlanta when I was working in the warehouse years ago.
Which warehouse?
I was working at True Value, man.
True Value, okay.
Major shouts out to True Value. If it's still open, I don't even fucking know.
So you moved from Chattanooga and then started working at True Value?
Chattanooga. When I was working at FedEx one minute. I actually worked at FedEx in Chattanooga, and I transferred to the FedEx here.
Okay.
Just so I can have a job as I moved, because I had kids at the time.
Still do.
Still do.
They're still yours.
I think they still mine. I always wanted a little more. It wasn't about the fucking work, because FedEx, people who know work at FedEx, that it doesn't pay you that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed whatever I wanted to do, and I've always been that person. If I feel I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And I also want to say this, on this podcast, you guys are the first to hear this. Exclusive, right now, I'm dropping it. And you better pay attention, and you better follow me, Mario Tori, on your nearest cell phone device. I have been training to beat my Doberman in a one-on-one foot race. I almost got his ass last time, but he cut me off. Let me tell you something. It ain't happening again. So I'm going to show the world before this summer is over with that I will beat a Doberman running. You hear me? Racing.
So we went from Comedy Central to you just running with your dog.
I just want
to
drop that.
So you just dropped. That's the exclusive.
Right.
You're running with your dog.
Watch how dope this is going
to
be.
You had to put him up. I'm afraid you said you had to put away the killer. So I can only imagine if you're running with him.
Oh, no.
He likes you.
He loves the shit. It's like a sport for him, and it's a sport for me. It's going to get me faster, get me stronger. But anyway, the reason why I'm saying that, because when I said I was going to be the best comic, one of the best comics coming out of Atlanta, I said this. And I've been one of those guys, I stick with it. When I pursue something, I'm on it. I'm on your ass.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been rocking, man. And
but what you mean, I've been saying I'll be like the one of the best Atlanta comedians.
So black. I've been saying. You didn't have to say it like that. You could have said it in your
voice. I'm sorry. I know where you stay at. You said you stayed in Decatur, and then GPS said Lithonia. And I'm like, bruh, that's that. I don't know what zone Lithonia is, but it ain't the
zone
deck.
Zone 6.5. Lithonia word, yeah. Is 6.5. Zone 6 is one more exit up. We had to move out of that shit. Okay, but
yeah. So you're working at True Value, and you're like, man, I'm gonna be the best comedian coming out of Atlanta.
Man, no, that definitely wasn't it. I didn't even know what the fuck comedy was. I didn't even know what a comedy show was until I got some free tickets to Uptown one night.
Oh,
when I was working at True Value.
Uh huh.
And it was, man, major shout out to Uptown. And I'm going to stop and drop that motherfucker because I started right there. It was a Tuesday night, tripping with Lil Duval on a Tuesday night.
Oh, way back.
Way back. I had free tickets. This is like 11 years ago. I had free tickets to go, and I went. You know what I'm saying? I went, man, saw the show, enjoyed myself. I saw how the chemistry and the crowd worked. And everybody was, man, we enjoyed ourselves. And I'm thinking to myself, I could do this shit only because I'm always talking shit when I was at work, or I've always been an outspoken guy. No matter what, where I don't remember what the fuck I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, I would say like maybe 2-3 weeks after that, I came back and signed up for open mic, and fuck it, the rest is history.
So as soon as
I drank to that one.
As soon as you perform, you're like, this is my new path in life. Like, this is it. This is everything. I want to be the best at this.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, I mean, you'll get, everybody has a gift. And it's like, once you tap into the shit, you know what it is. And that's it.
But I think a lot of, especially comedians, need to understand is it took you 10 years. 11
to
years.
To get on the national
TV.
Like, I did Bounce TV. I taped that. That was like, 7 years ago.
But other than that, that was it. But people to see you on, yeah, like Comedy Central, they're like, oh, wow, he's so lucky. But it's like, these are earned.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This is like Deion Sanders, motherfucker. You think Deion Sanders didn't own it? He earned the right to call him primetime.
Yeah, yeah.
He worked hard, and he's still working hard.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Deion. Tag him on this shit.
Mario was on one.
Deion gonna say, you know what? Put me on that show, young man.
You've been on with like DL? DL?
Man, I've been on a lot of tours with him. And I think people didn't see that part. I won a competition years ago. KISS 104.1. Drop that name. I'm just dropping. KISS 104.1. I did a competition with them in Atlanta, and I won the competition here in Atlanta. And winner of the competition was granted the opportunity to fly to New Orleans to compete with the winners from other regions.
Ah, okay.
So I won Atlanta region. Boom, shot to New Orleans. And I got to New Orleans. I won that competition.
Hmm.
That granted me the opportunity to open up for some more Mike Epps, DL, I want to say RNSJ. This was in New Orleans.
Bruce
was there.
Yeah.
He gave me the chance to open up for all them cats. But it was like a weekend comedy festival that they had. But I had a chance to open up on Sunday night with Mike and some more.
Yeah.
And I did this shit. And I rocked the fuck out. And when I got done, Spike Lee was there, man. Great. My mom came. Spike Lee came. Pierre was there, man. Him, shouts out to Pierre. It was a lot of more cats. And I met some more. And she actually, her and her husband actually just was the first people to just come to me and embrace me to say, hey, man, you was funny.
Hmm.
What's your information? And she put me on the road. I opened up a couple cities with some more.
Wow.
So shouts out to her, man.
Yeah.
She really let me be a comic. And I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. This was like 7 years ago, man.
Oh, it's like only 4 years in.
Yeah, it was like 4 years in.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do. I wasn't scared to do it. But, you know, I was just fresh in the game. But I had that opportunity. And I knew that every door that opened, believe me, man, God ain't going to put you down. It's going to be another one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be another one. And it's going to be another one. And I kept going.
Are you big on goal setting? Like you said, you wanted to be the best out of Atlanta. I didn't know if you had goals. One of the best.
And I can say that. I can say that now. Hell, I can say that now with a great record. If God keep me on this earth for another 10 years, I'll still be one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to make it.
What was the deal with like Kevin Hart? What was that whole, how did it first come up that you even got the shine on there and then you got asked back?
Well, shouts out to Peter Shaw, Shaw Family Management.
You just shouting them out. Just
dropping names. My manager, Shaw Family, my manager, man. He fucked around and actually, you know, worked, man. You know, like when I met him, let me tell you this about managers. Let me explain about managers. A lot of people be like, oh man, why I got a manager and why should I pay this? Why should I?
Mm-hmm.
One thing about it, I don't think that you should seek a manager. I think it's if it's meant for you to have one, it'll fall in your face. It'll come in your lap. I was at Uptown doing the show, and my manager and his wife came. And when we were done, he was like, man, I don't know who the fuck you are. I know you don't know who the fuck I am, because I didn't. I'm just a fucking stranger. I used to manage a lot of artists in the day, you know, musical-wise. And man, I think you're dope. I'm here from Jersey, boom, boom, boom. And I want to work with you, want to manage you.
Hmm.
And I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what. I ain't never had anyone approach me like that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. This was years ago, too. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. If that's what you want to do, then you do it. Because I don't know shit about being a manager. I know this part. I know the stage. I know the writing.
Right.
If you want to do that part, and you believe in what you see in me, and we can make some bread, if you think it's, you know, come on.
Mm-hmm.
We never signed anything. We just been rocking ever since that day. And he actually, it was a crazy situation with that. When I take Heart of the City, I wasn't even in Atlanta. I had to come back that next morning because they wanted me to be there that next day. It was like, out of all of the people, and this is how God work again, out of all the people that they chose out of Atlanta, out of everyone that's in Atlanta, all the comics, and you know a lot of them too.
Yeah.
I was only the toss-up because I hadn't done any national TV. I done bounce, but it wasn't
national.
It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It years ago. So it wasn't like I had the Common View, the Def Jam. I didn't do none of that. That was Favor. So I was out of town. And they called me like, hey, can you be here in the morning? This, hey, this is Heartbeat Productions. And I'm thinking they fucking with me like Georgia Powell. I said, is this who? I said, come on, man, with this shit, man. Look, I'm down here. I'm smoking. Stop playing, man. What is it? It's just like, nah, man, this is Heartbeat Productions. Boom, boom, boom. Can you come? Can you be in Atlanta tomorrow? And I'm thinking, what the fuck? So I had just got to Birmingham. I was booked at the Stardome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just made some arrangements and shot my ass on back up. And just, you know, on the wind, it was off the rip. It was a great vibe, man. He was a real dude. Kevin Hart was a real motherfucker. All the cats, Joey Wells, Naeem, all them cats was just genuine. You know what I'm saying? You could tell it wasn't so superstarish, nigga, you know, this money. It was real dope. And they liked me. And I like that, the fact that I can be likable. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to comedy. Because most people you can't work with.
Ego.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But Kevin Hart was cool.
He was dope, man. He was like, man, you funny, made me laugh. Boom, 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 boom. Take the Heart of the City at Uptown.
Yep. Shut up, Uptown.
Dropping the names. Killed that motherfucker. And then I say about another month later, they called Comedy Central, called me back. Well, it was Comedy Central anyway in the Heart of the City, but they called me back. Joey called me himself, called me back, and was like, this is it, brother. This is the motherfucking wham, bam. And I said, what? You gonna do what? Man, I almost cried, man. I was living in like me and my wife was going through some shit trying to find a place. We lived in a 2-bedroom off motherfucking Irish Street in Pittsburgh. We found just the most livable conditions for the best rate we could find. Of course, we had a big dog and some, you know, a couple of pistols. We was cool.
And a wife that was in the army.
And a couple of pistols. And we was cool. But it humbles you to know that you can't fail if you believe the shit, man.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there, I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen after I taped Heart of the City. Boom, put Heart of the City, they cut me a check. I went and cashed that motherfucker. It was gone that day. Check was gone.
You spent it?
Fuck yeah. Because you got to think, man, I got kids, you know, wife, bills. This is real serious shit. This is why we hustle like this. And I know it's the same thing with you. You know, wife, kids, house, cars. You got.
I don't got kids. I got a dog.
That's a child. Man, I got my baby in the garage.
I heard him crying as I was walking in. He was more barking.
Man, listen, man. Killer. That's a child. I got a gecko upstairs.
What?
I got two snails in there.
What? Who are you?
My son.
Oh, okay. I thought this was just you.
Well, no. I actually... It's another story. I'll tell you about the snails. I got the snails from Puerto Rico. That shit was dope as fuck, though.
You smuggled snails in? Snails.
Yeah.
How long ago did you get them?
Like a year ago.
And what do you feed them?
Well, it's just living the plants. They're like tree snails. They don't eat nothing but dirt and old leaf vegetation. I got a plant up there. I may put some apples or something. They eat that shit.
Wow. Mario, this
y'all didn't see this side. Y'all
this
like,
exterior, this
like,
dude.
This motherfucker was
he's so like, I got snails and geckos.
And dogs and shit. I got plants and herbs. Yeah, I smoke, man. What? Y'all better get with it. You better live. You better live your motherfucking life. I'm going to tell you that now.
But don't drive while you're living. Don't live and drive, kids.
No, don't drive. Drink this and then drive. Don't drink this and drive. You drink it and then you take off. But listen. But I ain't going nowhere anyway. But anyway.
A bit. Yeah. So did that manager connect you with Heartbeat Productions the first time? Is that where you brought the manager up?
No. It was kind of like just... My name was already out there.
Okay.
And they got in touch with him. And then, of course, you know, it came on back around because it was like, I mean, we just worked that hard. Even though it may seem like sometimes we're taking days off, like today, I set aside, you know, for a podcast.
Right.
Like tonight, we'll go out and do some shit. But you have to just keep at it. And when I kept at it, of course, my name was there. So people knew who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't on TV. I've never done TV until I did Heart of the City. I had just went and bought that damn outfit, the whole outfit I had on.
Yeah.
I had just went and bought it. No, it's real shit because I came back from Birmingham and everything that I had already packed to work the whole weekend in Birmingham, I couldn't wear because it had a stripe in it. It had a dot in it. It was white. It was blue. It was like, man, fuck no. I had to run.
To Marshall's?
TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx. Oh, he's a Maxinista. Okay.
Whole, I was maxed up. I got was maxed up. I was to the max.
I was maxed up.
I was maxed up, man. I don't even know what the fuck the TJ stand for, but I know I was maxed up. I don't know what the fuck TJ stand for. You hear me?
The juice.
No. The damn just. The just shirt. The shirt I had to just get.
Uh-huh.
And I just ran up there, man. It was like I was doing everything last minute. Just drove in. They had a tape at 10, and I had to leave there because I had to do that Thursday night, and then I had to come back early that morning. And I was like, fuck. So we had fun. Did that shit, and they called me for a half hour special.
Yeah.
That was the dopest moment. Like, back to when I was saying we was living in a smaller house. It was the dopest moment of my damn career ever.
Did you cry?
Damn near.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Especially when they tell you how much that fucking check is going to be. You're like, wow.
Word. I said, it's nice. For a half hour, that's a lot of work. So when you get to see Kevin Hart again, what is it? What did you learn from even, because even just being in the same room as certain people, you can just learn from how they move and operate. So what are some of the big things you learned from even just being around him?
He likes watches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you got enough money, he said he collects watches.
Who the fuck would have thought? Rich people like watches?
Rich people collect shit. I thought rich people just buy shit and just keep going, motherfucker. I ain't collecting shit. When I get rich, I'm buying an island and I'm gonna buy some shit.
Did you learn anything useful?
No. No. <I'm> sorry. No, what man, what he like, you know, we didn't have a sit down 101 and just talk, but what he really is if he likes you. That's like with anybody. If you can tell if somebody likes you, they like you.
Yeah.
And they like your style. And for you to put me on two of your productions. And I shot a movie. I just shot a movie with them on Heart on Laugh Out Loud Network.
Oh, wow.
They like you, man.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? I can't complain. I mean, it's like if somebody likes you and they know you are genuine and they know you work, sometimes it's favor. That's all I can say.
It's favor.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm. Won't he do it?
Mm-hmm. Mm, sorry.
What was the preparation like? So this is your big break. You're about to have to do a half hour on TV. What was your preparation for this moment?
Staying outside, not trying to be enclosed. Because sometimes you can get... And not staying around a lot of people. I was just focused on what I had to do. And it was like, it was another show. I didn't make it seem like it was... I'm nervous. You don't never want to go into it nervous. I never looked at it like I'm shooting a half hour special. Uh-huh. No, I'm just hosting Uptown.
That's what you looked at it like. But I mean, were you like rehearsing? Did you make a set list? Were you going over notes, working it out at other shows?
I had the challenge of not doing the same shit that I did on Heart of the City. I couldn't do it. So it made me go to the open mics. It made me work a little more. It made me do a whole nother set. Now I'm working on my hour special. So I'm not going to do none of the other shit. Because I feel like I've been through enough shit to talk about something else. So it really challenged you. The 30 minute special, because Heart of the City was like 10 minutes. the next level, man, was like 40 something minutes. Because they wanted me to do 40 and then, of course, they're going to edit it down. So it was almost an hour. And it was fun, man. I had a ball. The people at LA showed up. They showed out. We had a fucking blast.
So you're writing an hour right now. What is that system? Because I see right here in a notebook, you just have a top of a page says premise, and then a film about, I won't give away any of your juice. Right. But it's like, is this like your typical notebook here where you just...
like you said.
So you're pen to paper. Like you actually write. Some people say they just write on stage. You actually
write
on the page.
I write a lot of stuff down. I put a lot of stuff on my phone.
Uh-huh.
At least the topic.
Okay.
You know, and I can come back and fuck with it. I don't never, like, I just may jot some shit down.
Yeah.
You know, tearing shit out. Like, you have to make this your job. Why am I playing with it?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you make it your job, live this motherfucker like it's your job. This is your job. I'm a comic. I'm not changing no oil. I'm not doing none of that shit.
Yeah. It's the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm this is what I do. I mean, it's like, it's a no-brainer. And as you can see, like you said,
yeah,
I got several more probably under here somewhere. Because, like I said, I'm writing, I think every comic or creative person on earth should either have a paper or a pencil or a phone or a notepad or I don't give a fuck if you write it in your hand.
True.
You should be accessible to some type of utensil to write any of your ideas down. I don't give a fuck. It may sound stupid because I got some dumb shit.
Yeah, we all do. Most of it. Most of it is dumb.
Dumb as fuck.
Yeah, I'd say like 80. It's like an 80-20. Like 80% is just dumb. And
20% of it is the truth. 80% of it is some bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to write. If you're not writing, it shows.
What's been cool to see you, because I mean, we've been pretty much since you know, I've been doing comedy 8 years and I've pretty much been in the scene with you since I started here and just watching your progression. And it seems like a lot of your power now comes from like the delivery. It seems like you almost figured out something about your delivery and the timing and the pacing of what you're saying that is, it's really kind of taking your comedy to the next level. Was that like a moment on stage you had that you're like, oh, this is what I'm doing now? Or was it like a gradual thing?
Going back and watching the veterans.
Okay.
Because it is actually a science to it.
You yeah, know, like, yeah, yeah.
To be the best athlete that you can be. See, I don't never want to. That's why I never compared myself to nobody. I never compared myself to anyone. I like to be Mario funny. To be the best you can be, you got to work. You got to study. Basketball players on the court all day. They don't even fucking wear. Basketball players are so into basketball, they don't even feel comfortable in no other shoes but basketball shoes. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be when it comes to the comedy. And I think watching the vets, it showed me that. For one, I heard Richard Pryor say this. Have fun.
Mm.
It ain't even... First of all, you a comic. We know you gotta be funny. That's your job is to be funny. But how dare you not have fun while you doing it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's easier. It's almost easier said than done because it is a job. And when
you're... You got crowd. You got all kind of... odds against you.
Yeah.
You got to throw it off day. The mic be fucked up. But the thing is, people sit down in a seat and pay $5 to $10 to $25 to see you make them laugh. And whatever the situation comes about, whatever may happen around your whole curtain backdrop and fall off.
Yeah.
Fuck that. You have fun with this shit. You didn't do this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now it's time to have fun. Now it's time to talk about it. So now it's time to just, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and I think that's why, like, I've had a lot of success. I just have fun every day. Like, fuck that, man. It's like, why not? Why not drink at 2:00 in the evening? Who said? Where the fuck can you tell me that it says you cannot drink at 2:00?
All I know is my own biological rules say if you drink at 2:00, you're asleep by 6. No. And then you're hungover at 3 a.m.
Man, I got up this morning. Worked out, left the gym, came back. I was about to eat a little something else.
No, you can have some of those pea sprouts right there.
Yeah, I'm going to throw that on the salad.
And then just eat them like a,
on that shit.
Like a rabbit.
It gives you some energy. I just smoked one of these before.
You smoked a pea sprout? I believe you, man. I believe.
I felt Chinese. When it was light lit, I just felt like I was hovering. I felt like I drank about Z. You know how they cross your feet?
Oh, yeah.
Lemonade. What's it going to look? Whatever.
Are you into all that like alternative health and kind of just all organic and like holistic?
No, I'm not. But I'm not a dummy to what I know. I'm not into all. I fuck up eating all kind of bullshit. But I don't eat a lot of, for one, beef, pork. I don't eat none of that. Because I know what overconsuming it can do. Like, shit. It's like we got enough fucking, we got enough shit to, I got enough shit to worry about as being black than I already worry about my whole bowel system and body breaking down and arteries clogged up all because I wanted cheese and a cheeseburger every fucking other week and wings and shit. No.
You have like a balance. Like, you'll eat something bad, but then mostly good.
No, I just, if I eat something fried, it's going to be shrimp. If I eat a pizza, it's going to be a, some turkey or some ground turkey, Italian turkey sausage or something like that. I don't have to do no dumb shit. I don't really. And then you don't have to eat up. This right here is the key, man. Water.
Water.
And moving. I met a 63-year-old guy the other day. 63. He asked me. Because he heard me and my wife talking. And he was just like, man, y'all seem like y'all so cool, having fun, man. Ask me how old you think. And I'm looking at him. I said, damn, you got to be about 45. Man, that man was 63 years old.
Uh-huh. What'd he say?
He drank alkaline water. He said all he does, pull-ups, push-ups, leg lifts, and drink water every morning. All day. He said, I mean, of course, you know, you eat regular shit. But you just,
not like McDonald's all the time and all that.
I don't even eat it.
Any of that.
I don't eat McDonald's. Yeah. I don't eat none of that shit. And if I can't, I mean, like I said, if I'm out, I want some fast food, I'm starving, I grab some shrimp.
I can see a big correlation between my health and almost my productivity in comedy. I can see, like, when I'm on like a nice health streak, that I have a lot of good positive momentum in my career. And then when I, if I fall off, it, the career falls off too. Have you felt similar experience with that?
What I felt from years ago when I was eating a lot of bullshit, my energy was gone.
Yeah.
And as a comic, you got to stay up late nights. You might have to drive back late nights. You might have to get up early mornings. You might not sleep 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to give your body that much. And when your body takes so much of alcohol, you got some cats do other drugs, if you're smoking, if you drink, and if you're not at least on this side trying to take care of your goddamn body, it's going to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. And you're like 45, right?
No, 60.
Oh. You were the guy you ran into. It was the mirror, right? You were just high, like, who's this guy?
I said, man, you know what? Fuck that. I'm 63. But no,
oh, okay.
I'm 38.
Oh, you're 38? Yeah. Oh, I thought I heard an interview you were 45.
I always say that.
Oh, you do? Oh, so you just lie.
Yeah,
okay.
I'd be lying.
Well, okay. What have you lied about so far in this interview?
Not that much.
Not that much. I know you're on Comedy Central. I know that much was true.
That's what's true. You see, I write my own shit.
Yeah, I see.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you know what, man? I'm glad you saw that. Because, you know, Joe, you always, shouts out to this young dude, too, because you always,
I was about to say, you're shouting out everybody else. I get the makeup drop. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, let me take that back. Well, I drop the reefer there.
Drop the reefer.
It's going to be quiet. Listen. Every time, like, I've seen growth in you by just wanting to ask. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know everything. I asked. That's why I said I had to go back and watch the old cats.
Yeah.
I had to, it's because they couldn't tell me, so I had to go back and watch it. And there's nothing wrong with asking the question. That lets a person know that you are learning. Anytime a question is being asked, you learn something because you're receiving a fucking answer. Or just a like, this is my opinion. Boom. Opinions count sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's the growth I've seen in you too. And I always see you right now. You take some shit, you try it. And if you don't, even if you don't even think the shit went your way, you still say, hey, fuck that. I tried. I'm going to go back tomorrow and try another goddamn joke or try it another way.
Yeah.
But that's attempting to be the best. You know, Herschel Walker's, the Barry Sanders. You're trying. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And I'm going to continue. Until I'm gone, I'm going to be a cold, weed smoking at 2:30, working out, dog, pea shoot eating, drinking ass, married ass nigga. And if you don't like it, guess what? I can't help you.
I love, like, half this interview is you, like, hitting the table and talking to the camera instead of, like, the microphone.
Oh,
you're
like, but I was? Okay.
No, you're, no, you're, I think, no, I think do you, Mario. Do you, man. That's how you got to where you are. Do you. I'm just loving, people are going to have to watch this on YouTube to actually
be like,
believe everything what's happening.
It's crazy. Pea shoots, baby.
Pea shoots. It's sponsored by Georgia Power and Pea Shoots and Fontas Water.
And Cavassier.
Oh, that's what you're drinking.
Cavassier. Yeah, we parted.
That's what Letterman's big into
Letterman Kibasi. Used to, you know, used to drink. I don't know. I think it was Jack or some shit he used to have. But he always had something behind it. That mug did not have coffee in it.
I thought you said before the interview that Letterman drank that every day. That was one of your lies.
Drunk, like, whatever. I don't know what it was he drunk, whatever his preference was, but this motherfucker was. I saw it one day. No, hold on. It was an interview one day. I think it was Jack. I think he drank Jack Daniels.
I don't know what to believe anymore, Mario. I don't know.
It's kind of crazy. You got to look at it like this. If you're one of the top entertainers, David Letterman had babies at, how old was he when he had that baby? 60-something?
Oh, he was old, yeah.
You drinking. You gotta be drunk.
If I can test the truth, did your wife actually give you a wedding band that was a bullet shell, or was that not true?
Oh no, that was one of the jokes I came up with.
Oh gosh, I wanted to believe that.
Yeah, I said that she had an AK-47 bullet and
yeah.
But the shit would be dope. I might need to do that.
Was she really in the army?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Service. Cool.
She was.
She's in the guard, man.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
She's a cool.
Are you really writing a cartoon and a TV show and a feature?
Yeah.
Actually,
this right here.
Okay.
Which is the premise.
Uh-huh.
Boom. That's the movie.
The Notebook is titled movie. Interesting.
Right. Because you see, I got the question mark.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been in toss up on what I want to call it. And it's like, it's cool. That's why I meet with the ladies and a couple mm-hmm. of cats at the studio. And I'm a write. Hold on.
You got more? He's going out of frame, people. Who's going in the background?
Okay. Now, look at this. Boom. People, this is a whole,
No,
this is a
straight.
Whole other one.
Okay.
Ash and Chap. That's the name of the cartoon.
Okay.
Can't really break all what it is.
Right. Yeah, you don't want people to. Oh, there's a snail. There's a drawing.
I'm telling you.
Is that the character?
I'm telling you, man.
Look at you.
This is going to be real dope.
Mario's a nerd.
This is the first. Yeah, I really am. Look, boom, intro, first episode. And then, like I said, I'm just write to the.
Oh, scene. You need dialogue.
I'm just.
Oh, man. You got a lot of work to do, Mario.
But I had to start, though.
That's true.
You know what, Joel, and this is honest too, and this is, I'm glad we're saying this on the podcast. I want to step into another light of the entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not only am I stand up is my baby. I ain't never going nowhere. That's it. I'm not going nowhere. Now I want to get to let me put my ideas out here on some paper and let somebody act this out. I want to get behind. I don't necessarily have to act myself.
Yeah.
I can if I get cast for the shit, but my productions, I want to see them done. So I'm going to do some dope shit. I'm just going to keep writing. If I got to pay some people, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to do it. It may take a year, may take 2 years, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, that's the hard part. And that's what I've noticed in doing, like being in comedy 8 years is so many people are like, yo, man, I have this idea. And then it's only an idea. And there's a big difference between execution and intention.
Mm-hmm.
And
most people
just have the, you know, intention of like, oh, I want to do this live comedy show. We're going to be the next SNL in living color. Like, and then it's, nah.
You got to push on it.
It takes work.
And it takes a lot. It takes money.
Yeah. It doesn't take money to write it though. Just time.
No. It takes timing. You got to copyright shit. You got to get some, you know, you got to get the right, do it right before you start going out in the film festivals.
Yeah.
Ideas out of there. You got to really.
I can't tell you how many people have called me with a TV show idea. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, you got a script? And they're like, no, well, let me run the idea by you. And I was like, well, when you have a script,
well, you haven't wrote a TV show.
Call me back.
I mean, you got a great.
I've written a pilot. I've written a 30-page pilot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you pitch it? Did you make it?
I wrote it for Miss Pat. I wrote it in the intention of her being the next Black Roseanne, like her being the Black Roseanne. So I wrote, because I went up to Montreal with her, and I was like, oh, I want to have this pilot written out.
Mm.
So then when I see her, I'll be like, hey, Miss Pat, I wrote you a TV show too. And she's like, oh, I'm actually working with Lee Daniels already on a TV show. And I was like, oh, missed it. But the finishing.
But you wrote it.
That, yeah, and that's something I heard Will Packer say, and who, you know, who's Kevin Hart, mm-hmm. Will Packer, you know,
yeah.
Will Packer's pretty much the guy who's responsible for Kevin Hart, all this movie success.
Yeah.
So he said in an interview that the big accomplishment with the first movie he ever did was just that he finished it. They hit the finish line because so many people can get to 90% done and that final 10% breaks them. So even just finishing something is a success. So actually writing a 30-page pilot was a success. And she like read it and thought it was funny, but it was like, is it Joel Byers or Lee Daniels?
Mm.
Right now, Lee has a little bit more pull. right now. So, yeah. So it was good to at least finish it though.
So there is certainly now I can.
I mean, I have that.
But we gotta write some shit
for like a spec script whenever her show comes out. Man. Okay.
You got an edge about your comedy, so let's do some black white. Yeah. Some Robin Williams, some Richard Pryor shit. You know, me and Richard Pryor share the same birthday, December 1st.
Word.
God is great.
And his Gene Wilder was the white guy that he would work with a lot, right?
But it was crazy. Robin Williams too, though.
Robin did a lot with Richard too. Yeah.
Gene Wilder, yeah. Maybe we should do some remakes of the See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Some like parodies.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Let's do it. We'll just steal. We're like, we'll write something, and then it evolved into us. Let's just steal something.
And nobody steals shit either.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, erased it.
Another white and black guy. Gonna do it. Yeah. All the power to you if you're doing it. Because there's no way around the work in comedy. I've learned that from whether it's writing something, even hosting a show is something people don't understand. Hosting, producing a show is almost a full-time job in itself. Mm. That's why so many fall off to the wayside. But you've had a lot of success in hosting shows. Yeah. What do you think is the reason for that?
You know what? Connections. And networking, knowing you got to fit the part too. You got networking. Not only is one thing. See, don't look just to get paid one time. I look to get paid over a period of time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So you got to fit the part sometimes. Sometimes you got to work with what you got. You know, you got to don't force shit. You just would you rather not work every day or would you rather work one time and get one check? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that your reputation can, if you produce one bad show, reputation, you know.
Reputation. And if you produce a good one,
reputation.
Recommendations.
Ooh, yeah.
Reputations, recommendations.
So when you're going to pitch, if you're going to like, you host the show on, how many shows are you hosting now?
Wednesday, Uptown, Saturday.
Okay.
Cafe Circus Sunday. And then if I'm, you know, especially if I'm in the city, it's Uptown, but sometimes I'll be out, you know, moving around.
But if you're going to somewhere like Cafe Circa, and you've hosted numerous shows, but when you're going to pitch a show to like a venue, like it's more like a bar or whatnot, what is kind of your approach to that?
News, whatever the fuck has gone on in the news.
No, I mean like to pitch a show. Oh, to like the business of it.
A lot of people call me.
Okay.
Yeah, I never just went. I don't even know how to fucking call somebody else.
But that's what I was asking.
I know how to write contracts up to do all this shit. I don't know how to pitch it to them. Like, hey, let me do a goddamn show with your shit.
So they call you and they're like, we have this, we want you to host a comedy show. Here's the money. Or do you negotiate the money?
Yeah, they always got to negotiate.
But so you come with the number.
People always got more money than what the fuck they going to tell you.
So how do you navigate that negotiation?
Sometimes you got to do them like Suge Knight. You got to hang them out the goddamn window. Make this shit work, baby. I know you got money. I know you got some goddamn money.
You'll say that to him?
Yeah. Uh-huh. If you offer me $500, I mean, you got about $900, $800 to fuck with. You just offered me $500.
So you go over. So yeah. But what if it's your number first? You have like a baseline? You
know? I'm just trying to see what you're trying to do. Are you charging at the door? Is it free? What you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the kind of details I was looking for. Like every show is different. Every show pays different based on the environment.
Because it's not like everybody's venue is different.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may make, I don't even care about the numbers on the bar or the food. I don't have nothing to do with that. If you can pay me a base amount, keep me comfortable, I'm out of here.
Are you still wanting to own your own club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that working too.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah, we're gonna do some shit, baby.
Oh yeah? What's first?
I'm gonna stud this dog out, I'm gonna sell his puppies. So that's gonna be like $1,000 a piece on the motherfuckers.
He's flipping a Doberman, right? It's a Doberman, right?
People flipping chickens, I'm flipping puppies.
what can I invest on that? How do I buy the dog some jackets or
maybe the flea shots.
The flea shots?
You can cover that shit is expensive and shit.
Oh really? Yeah. Be an early adopter.
Yeah, and then just go ahead and put your name on the list. We'll find a nice home for one of them. But it's a dope ass process too. We studied them out too, got some money off of them. But the club. It's kind of, and that's one of them things. It takes money to make money. And that's one of them things too. It's not that easy. But I just want to continue, like I said, try to write, put one of these in production. Maybe I can sell it. Maybe somebody likes it and I can just sell a script.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
And then what if that shit inspires me to write another one? Sell that motherfucker. Because sometimes you just gotta, it's just seize the moment. Seize the opportunity that you got.
But there's a difference. Sometimes you can try to do everything and you end up doing nothing.
Right. That's why I don't do it. That's why you see I said I'm doing one at a time. This is the most important.
The movie's number one.
Number one.
Okay.
Because the idea was insane. It was sick. I can see it being dope. And I think that's the one we probably try to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A feature length film, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's years of, that's a process.
Hey, that's what you get.
90 pages.
That you get a lot. Well, even like I said, 90 when page I script. This company tomorrow, we're going to go over it, figure should we do it as a short or should we do it as a feature? I don't know.
Right.
How to know.
Right.
So I'm like, let me just, you know, meet with the right people, go over some shit and yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Because like you said, a feature, that should take all day, but what if I can sell it though?
Yeah, it's interesting to interview you right now because you're like, hot, right? You've got the heat right now, as they say in the biz. So it's interesting that he's lying the lighter. You've got to just watch this on YouTube. There's just been too many things tonight. this is definitely our most YouTubeable interview yet. This has been lit. But that is, yeah, it's a. I said you got the heat and you start getting the lighter.
I'm talking, man, what?
So it's like how you use that momentum in the right direction so it doesn't just, you know, fizzle or it doesn't get cold again. You keep reigniting the fire.
And, you know, because I don't know what the fuck my next, I don't know what my next step is to be. I don't know what my next, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to be. Like some people, I know we all map it out and I got the great idea here, but like I said, I got two calls for a casting. Hell, I may be acting. In a minute, and I'm not gonna write none of this shit.
But do you have any specific goals? Like, do you have like a?
I want to stay just comedy and just keep working. Yeah. It's like I don't know. Like I'm pretty sure when you know, like we was talking about Kevin Hart. Pretty sure when he got in the game, when he first started getting hot, first started getting that momentum, he didn't know where the fuck it was gonna take him. But maybe. When he got that tap and said, "Hey, we're gonna go here. We're gonna shoot this. We got Soul playing for you." But you know that was his first break.
Yeah,
but in a movie wise, probably I'm pretty sure he got cast for it, and they said he's a perfect motherfucker, and he just from there, his something kicked in. You know what I'm saying? Like even with Mike Epps, pretty sure when he got his first blow when he did Friday, you know Mike Epps he was doing stand up for years. He got that Friday. Shout out to same thing with Chris Tucker, the very first Friday he was doing stand up a couple years. Boom, shout him on out there. So maybe I get cast for a movie. And I won't have the opportunity to write none of this.
Yeah.
The it's there. Woo! Intentions are there, like Ric Flair, baby. It's there. Because I said, woo, Ric Flair on my bitch.
Yeah. That song's so dope.
That shit is fucking right, man.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one. Man, that shit.
No, that man. Ric Flair drip is on point. That's the new. That's
you
new,
see the video?
The new. I haven't seen the video
Ric
yet.
Ric Flair's in the video.
Man, I stumbled.
With chains on and shit. Man.
That's a man who reinvented himself. Like, that's a man who has, like, reemerged with a new brand. Same brand. It's just, it came full circle for him, you know?
And you know what? I noticed this too, Joe.
21.
We could take this with a hot breath. Your name never dies, man. Your name never dies. And there's some people out here with some fucked up names. There's some people who got fucked up shit behind their name. Of course, we all know some fucked up people in the history, killers and all. But your name sticks with you because when you certain people say your name, or if your name is a brand, if it gets that big, like Bob Marley, for instance, the man is dead. And this man, still Tupac, they still running shit about Tupac on the TV every day.
Making movies. He's in
every
industry.
Every day.
Yeah.
Your name, when you leave this motherfucker, make sure your name, JB, Joe Byers is fucking good. That's all. Because people going to go to work in the morning after your funeral, they going to work in the morning.
Yep.
But your name's still going to stay here.
I'm going to be sure Kevin Hart gets my name right the first time. on yours, I know he stumbled it a little bit.
Did you hear it on Water of the City? With Tony. He called me Mario Tony. People fuck my name. I had a flyer. One guy sent me, he had three R's in it. Even if that was my name, you didn't question yourself to say, is this right? Let me text him to see if this right.
Nah, dude, I get B-Y-E-R-S constantly. Everything, people will email me, my name's on the email. It's in the email signature. It's on my Facebook. And then they'll send me a flyer, B-Y-E-R-S. And I'm just like, come on. Come on. I guess that's why the show pays in chicken wings. That makes sense.
Chicken wing. Do you eat? How do you eat, man?
Nah. Yeah, I try to stay clean.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to. That helps with all the energy, focus, productivity. I've just found when I don't eat healthy, yeah, the productivity and the energy, everything falls off.
Yeah.
There's a direct correlation between how what I put in and what I get out.
From this earth, man, just sometimes. Everybody don't believe shit, and I'm wrapping my mind around that. Human beings sometimes, we don't understand a lot of shit, and I don't either. But we connected somehow to natural shit that's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our body fucking deserves.
But we crave the
other shit.
Because it's engineered. That salt, that sugar, salt, sugar, fat is the trifecta of flavor.
It's that flavor.
All that food.
Somebody made me realize this shit
one
day.
That's why it's so addictive.
Somebody said, like you can take any vegetable or whatever, any fruit or whatever, and eat it, and it's good. And you can sometimes you can chop it up and put something else in and put it in and still make it good. But you would not eat a boiled chicken if they just didn't season it or didn't batter it or nothing. They just boiled it, and would you eat it just like that?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, hell no. See, it's just that flavor. It's the salt and the sodium and the MSG, all that shit.
I'm telling you, yeah. I read the book Salt, Sugar, Fat, and it breaks down like all the processed food. There is a bliss point, is what they call it, between the amount of sugar, the amount of salt, and the amount of fat that is in all that processed food. They spend millions upon millions of dollars to make the food edible, like potato chips. Instead of making something healthy, they spend millions of dollars on mouthfeel and like the crunch point, like the amount of pressure it takes to crunch a chip. They calculate that with with like a $50,000 machine. I'm not kidding. It like replicates a mouth, and they calculate. It's that engineered. They could use all those resources to produce good food.
Wow!
But it's instead to kill
us.
Well,
you know, it's not meant for people to make money keeping you healthy. They can't make money keeping you healthy.
Oh yeah, because you become woke.
No, you just become healthy. Your ass just ain't going to the hospital.
Yeah, right.
You ain't buying fucking over-the-counter, Robitussin shit, your nose running. It's like I haven't been sick in a while.
I was just sick last week for the first time in a while. And
just eat some hot shit, green shit, colorful shit, and water. That's all you need.
It all stemmed from lack of sleep. Like
too.
Sunday, I got like Sunday to Monday, I had an hour of sleep. Then the next night, I had like 3 hours, and my body was just like, yo, that's not what we're doing. And I was sick for the rest of the week.
That's what it is.
But I was.
It's what you put in. My son was sick. Like one time, he had a fever, like, man, it was like over 100 some shit. He was running real, real hot. He was hot as fuck. And I asked him, I said, well, when was the last time you used the bathroom? Because sometimes it's in your gut. It's in your bowels. I said, what was the last time you used the bathroom? He said it was like a couple of days. And I said, well, all right. I'm going to go to the store. I got some plums, some spinach. It was a couple more, you know, just regular salad shit. And I got some soup. And apple juice. Boom. He boo-booed. Probably in a couple more hours. His fever was already, it was almost gone. He went to sleep. You know, because sometimes it's what you put in. And I'm pretty sure the bullshit you've been eating at school, the cheap shit you've been eating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just builds up in your body. And if when it's sitting there, it's spoiling.
Yeah.
And that's with your guts and you start getting sick.
Yeah. I just want abs before I die. How do you get abs, Mario?
Water.
Water? That's the...
I'm dead ass serious. But you got to do sit-ups,
though. Okay.
You got to do sit-ups. But water. That's it. Now I'm telling you, man. Water, bro.
Water is life.
Water is abs.
What?
If that's the case.
All these infomercials for abs, we just need a water infomercial.
People need to stop lying.
Ab water.
People need to stop lying. Your diet. You can stop eating certain shit and you can burn body fat. You can stop, just cut it out. And you'll,
oh, like the unhealthy stuff and unhealthy, it'll fall
just
off.
Just start doing some ab. Just start working out. Do you work out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How often?
Pretty much daily. I'll try to do something in the morning, whether it's weights day. Or cardio. Yeah. Every day. I try to balance them out.
You can do it every day. Do you? Your abs are one muscle you can work every day.
Okay.
You do sit-ups every day. When you're doing your other shit, just drop down. Do something.
Okay.
Every day.
All right. How long do you think it'll take? Within the year?
You try to get sexy this year.
See, everybody wants the shortcut, but it's
everybody
a process.
Wants that Miami body February.
It's the now process, you, though.
Yeah. Go hard, man. Just push yourself. I can't really say how long it'll take, but it's going to take at least 30 days, 60 days.
30? Oh, I was thinking months. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, at least 60.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should see some results after 30. Oh. If you go
hard.
Start fucking. I know you married. Fuck everything.
All right, so let me get to the final question here. I don't.
Fucking to get you. That burns your belly.
So the thing I ask all the comedians on here is, of course, like a boo story or like an epic bomb they've had on stage.
Okay.
So is there one that comes to mind? And being booed is always something I enjoy hearing about. But if you've never been booed, then just an epic bomb, epic failure that you could really draw from the memory banks.
I remember one time I was too high and I didn't know what the fuck I was saying.
That's common. That's
common.
You're too drunk. You don't know. Then you lose control, though.
But you know what, man? I have been booed before. It was so long ago. I can't even remember what the fuck happened. It just was like when I was fresh in the game. I was young. I was stumbling on some dumb shit I was saying. That's probably stupid.
Was it Uptown?
Yeah, it was at Uptown. Uptown is one of them.
Everybody has a boo story from Uptown.
It was Uptown. Yeah. Now that I think about it. It was a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't remember what it was. It was an open mic night. One of them boo nights. Mm-hmm. You know, open mics. Come on, man. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck I did. I think it was only a couple. It wasn't even. You know, I've never had any horrendous boos. I've had more people act uppity, like they don't want to laugh.
Yeah.
I just had a favorite. I'd be a shitty ass comic all my life. Thank you. Thank you, comedy gods, for blessing me for not having a shitty ass startup.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's talking to the TV again.
Thank you for not having me have a shitty startup, Jesus.
So do you have an epic bomb in general that you'll just never forget?
No, it's not.
Any moments Steve Brown got attacked on stage? Anything crazy?
No.
I know memory prize is your best
attribute.
Oh, you
know what? No, I haven't had some shit one night. We was at Fat Man was hosting a spot in Decatur. It was out here too. Zone 6.
This is Lithonia. This is not Decatur.
This 6.5.
Okay.
This is zone 6.5. You go give us that goddamn hand. That right there is 3,000. They zip is 3,034. I was 3,038. You go give us that. This is 6.4. He's on 6.4. Fat Man was hosting the spot. And it was a guy talking. Of course, you know how bars and shit is. Motherfuckers talking
about
shit.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And fucked around. I don't know. I said some shit. And he tried to come on stage. And I had a couple homies in there. It wasn't that crucial. It was not like that Steve Brown shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God damn.
That was live.
What you think about that shit?
It happened.
That shit was crazy.
It was wild. I interviewed Steve about it. I interviewed Gary about it.
I seen Steve. Yeah.
And then I interviewed
Gary in South Carolina?
Gary Abdo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because he had some words about Gary and some accusations about Gary trying to like manipulate just the whole story. So they were both kind of had different points of view on it. So I interviewed Steve. He talked about Gary. So I interviewed Gary and he talked about it. And then I interviewed, to get the third opinion, I interviewed Marlon Ballard.
He was there.
He was opening for Steve that night. So I got the third opinion.
So what happened?
I just dropped that today.
Marlon's.
I dropped it today.
I got to watch that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to watch that one.
So he pretty much broke it down. It's the longest interview I've ever done. It was like 90 minutes. So he, yeah, he pretty much went like step by step.
This is so how happened. Do you feel about comedy? I'm switching the interview. Oh, this is Mike Tour, Hot Breath Hot Breath Podcast. We got Joe Byers here with me. Say hi to him, Joe.
What up, though? No, we dropping names. Water. You got to get water. Cavassier. We smoking weed. We getting loud. It's 2:30. Who said you can't do that? Yeah, I have a family, but don't worry about it. They'll drive themselves home even though they're 10 and they can't poop. What up, though? No?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm glad to see you alive. listen, so how do you feel about hecklers? Like, how do you handle them? I mean, everybody got their own way of handling hecklers. How do you?
Yeah, I usually just olay them. Or first, I ignore them. Because most of the time, what I found is if you just ignore them, they go away on their own. They're like, oh, I guess I'm not getting the attention or whatever. And then they or somebody else will eventually say something.
Hey,
to
that
them.
Shit works. Hey,
like, just ignore
shit,
it.
Me, I don't ignore them.
Yeah, I let a couple I slide. I'll give them 3 strikes.
I don't give them no strikes.
Yeah.
You know what? I want you to be retarded. Come on. let's just show how stupid you can really be. Because sometimes you have to, if the embarrassment is what makes people want to say, would you shut your ass? It could be. Because, of course, you know there's going to be 62 other people around you. And I always ask hecklers, what do you want to say? What is it? Tell me first so I can let you get your part of the show over with. Then I can go ahead. And then I always be like, oh, man, what's your name? Tony? And it'll be some stupid motherfucking name.
Yeah.
Everybody know he's drunk. And like, get your ass down, Tony.
But if you get, sometimes if you get laughs off of them, then they think they're helping the show and then they don't stop.
I've had that.
So you fuel the fire. That's why I like to just, you know, a little, give them the cold shoulder at first.
Okay, all right, don't suggest.
Let them burn out, yeah. And then if they don't, then I'll usually let them just fall themselves. Mm. I'll use whatever they're doing against them and kind of judo them to whatever they're talking about.
Mind trick shit.
Yeah. And then you can also shush them. That's one of my favorite techniques. Is to just shush them and then keep going on with what you were doing.
And you know what I learned too? Sometimes instead of talking loud, if you start whispering, people think you're crazy. Have you ever noticed most killers on most movies, they always whisper, yeah, I just want to tell you I can see you through the window. People think that when a motherfucking heckler saying some shit, you just be like, it's okay, bro. I know you're going through something.
You whisper to the, whisper to the heckler?
And they're like, he'll stop at me and fuck up, be like, you know what, this nigga's crazy. Why is he whispering?
That's hilarious.
You gotta try different techniques.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So yeah, everybody has their own kind of technique for it.
Just whisper.
Treat him like a child.
Stop. See, when you got fire and you mix fire with it, you got a blaze.
Yep.
But if you got fire and get a little water, even if it's just a little.
Water.
Yeah, it just you can hear the water fire say, oh shit. They try to put me out. Come on this way.
Yeah.
So you just gotta put, just throw a little water on it.
That's pretty much the moral of this entire episode.
But that shit was scary though. Let me say that about that Steve Brown shit. God damn.
Oh.
You know what? I wasn't even. Great job, Steve. You did a great goddamn job. You did, staying out of the way. Great job.
Cool.
I was very concerned about the audience. When that damn mic stand shit flew off.
Yeah.
Man, that shit could have seriously injured someone in that club. That was dangerous. That shit is heavy. That shit is unpromising. And that shit is not going to be nice when it hits somebody.
Solid metal.
What?
Yeah, that's the anchor of the mic stand.
That was dangerous.
But that dude was—he had just gotten out of like prison. This dude was like swole. That's how he could just throw it around like that because he was just yoked. But what? Steve stayed out of the way, like he was good and defensive.
What happened though?
What happened with the?
What the reason why he ran on stage?
Well, apparently they were going back and forth.
Oh, okay. So it was a back and forth thing. Okay.
Yeah. And then it just escalated. But you can hear the details on the. But it just started out as them going back and forth, and I think it just kept getting heated from there. Probably fighting fire with fire, like you said, and then it just set an inferno.
You got some notes over here wrote down.
Yeah,
you didn't say none of them.
I said all these. I'm getting better at not looking at them though.
Great shit.
So like I used to have to look at them a lot, but the past couple of interviews I haven't looked at them. So pretty
great
much
shit.
Yeah, pretty much hit all of them. The
you did a good job. Make sure you leave that here.
Oh,
sign it and leave it here.
I document these. I hold on to all these.
I was going
to
document it too. You know, I keep a lot of my comedy shit.
What's your favorite?
You know what? Just anything that I can.
Because that's I have a whole notebook of all my, I've done 120 interviews, and this is this will be 121. This will be 122.
Great.
So I have all these in a notebook signed by the guests.
Well, I'm gonna sign it then. I already was the other way. I was like, leave it, you sign it. See, that's dope shit.
See, we out here. So,
because when they do documentaries, they go back and look at
exactly. Like, oh, wow, I'm gonna have the whole thing documented.
Cause shit. See,
we ready.
You thinking, brother?
So before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
No, just follow me. That's just getting old. I'm tired of saying that shit. Follow me, and it don't be nobody. Three motherfuckers.
Yeah. Hey, three is a lot.
Yeah.
It's incremental, you know?
Yeah. I guess $3 every day is like a...
That's nice. It's compounding.
Mario Tori. Shit is pretty dope. I do this shit. Talking to the mic now, you know what I'm saying? Mario Tori, just a lot of shit coming, man. Watch out for a lot of this shit. I'm shooting the hour special too, so watch out for that shit. It's coming. I'm living.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna fucking say. And you better enjoy your goddamn life while you can. Stop the bullshit. And is anybody that's bullshitting in your life, your energy is the most important thing you have. Cut that shit off and get the fuck home. Enjoy yourself.
Mario Tori, thanks for being a hot breath.
Told like a damn bastard. Mario Tori, we out of this thing, man. We wanted some artichoke dip. There it is.
Hot breath. I warned you. Mario was on another level. I think this interview really took it to another level. My favorite part, I've got to say, is just hearing Mario try to explain something and then the details not really backing up the idea. But you know what? Mario is still one of my favorite comics. And now I got to say, one of my favorite guests on here. If you enjoyed it, please share it. Leave an iTunes review if you're listening on iTunes. That'll definitely go a long way in helping new people discover the podcast because we're, you know, doing something positive here, highlighting some of the comedy's top comedians. So you're helping sending that message out into the world will help bring more people to the Hot Breathiverse. So thank you for your support in that and hanging out. Sharing it always goes a long way. And hang out with me. I do stand-up as well. You know, I do comedy. I do some jokes and comedy bits and stuff. Every Wednesday at Java Monkey in Decatur, Georgia. The real Decatur, Georgia. Not Lithonia, like Mario Zone 6, whatever. In Decatur, Georgia, downtown, Java Monkey, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. I host a free comedy show. Come on out. It's always a good time. I've been doing it almost 7 years now, so you're in good hands. And I appreciate you tuning in. If you'd like to support the podcast, on another level, Patreon. That's kind of like the tip jar for the podcast. That really helps to go with the maintenance and equipment upkeep and really overall time. I spend about, 10 hours on each of these from top to bottom, start to finish. So any support you could provide, patreon.com/hotbreathpod. I really appreciate it. And really, let's get out of here. What do you say, huh? I know you got busy days. I hope you just found this one entertaining. You can go back to our over 120 other Hot Breathisodes here. It really does go a long way. And joelbyerscomedy.com, of course. Shameless plug. On there we can get a link to my comedy class or my book or just overall schedule on where I'll be performing. So, as we start to whisper into the microphone as if we're being heckled, let's get out of here. Thank you to my engineer, Amon Garner. And thank you to my wife, Erin Byers, for making the theme song. And now that I've thanked my wife, you know it's the end of the episode. So until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.